The Roman Church initially, and we will talk about the church, as I said, in our next lecture, so I'm not going to really talk about the theological background of this, but I just want to state that already the Roman Church does not interfere with these feudal relationships. During the Carolingian period, that is the period of Charlemagne and his successors, some churchmen, however, did notice the advantages of that were given to certain individual Jews and tried to limit them as much as possible. And here we have another precious 9th century source, which I want to sort of use as a kind of counterbalance to the legal charters. This comes from a town in southern France called Lyon, and it is written by an archbishop named Agobard. Agobard of Lyon in the 9th century is obviously aware that these Jews are coming to this area, are settling there, aren't just merchants, but they're actually settling there. And he is a little bit concerned that they may have a bad influence on his Christian constituency. So he writes a series of letters to the Archbishop of Narbonne, which is close by, in which he complains about the visibility of these Jews and the need to somehow suppress them and limit their exposure so that they will not be able to pollute the Christian environment. And let me just read you a few lines of that text. "True Christians should separate themselves from the company of infidels, especially Jews who are quite well settled in this city." Notice, in Lyon there are already Jews settled in the 9th century. "For it seems to be most unworthy and improper for our faith that the sons of light be led into obscurity by associating themselves with the sons of darkness, and that the Church of Christ, which must be fittingly prepared without stain or blotch for the embraces of her celestial spouse, should be discolored through contact with the repudiated and reddled synagogue. Yet we see this evil of comradeship, dining in common, and even sexual debauchery through which the faith is endangered, growing and increasing daily, particularly as once the law of God ordered that Jews neither join themselves in marriage with the nations nor celebrate feasts with them in common, lest through the bond of marriage and the conviviality of all the repast, they fall away from divine service and thus direct their spiritual liberty into the yoke of idolatry. So now our people too should be equally restrained." Okay? So some of this, of course, is just rhetoric, but he seems to be genuinely concerned by the fact that Jews are not only there, but they're hanging out with Christians. There seems to be some kind of social connection going on. I don't know if it's sexual or not, but nevertheless, he is concerned that with Jews in the midst of Christians, somehow they need to be limited. They need to be distanced from Christians. So here already is a very early plea. I wouldn't call this hostile, in the sense of wanting to destroy the Jews or attack the Jews, but somehow he is concerned that, of course, the language is there, that these Jews will have a negative influence upon his Christian constituency, as we said. Now let us go back to the larger question, the transition from individual families to these larger communities. And what we are trying to do is to establish the setting of Jewish life in Western Europe prior to the Crusades. The Crusades, as you will see, is another turning point, and we'll devote an entire lecture very shortly to the Crusades. But prior to the Crusades, what emerges here are communities throughout Germany, as we said, throughout France and throughout England, and they will move from small communities to little larger communities, always relatively small. 20, 30 families would be a large community. But all along these trade routes, as we've said, by the 10th century, we see some major communities emerging, not only in the south, in Narbonne, in Lyon, and so on, in southern France, but also in other communities in France, in northern France, but particularly let us return to those communities on the Rhine Valley. Mainz, Speyer, Worms, Cologne, all along the Rhine River, these are communities that have existed from the 10th and the 11th century. And perhaps the most famous is the community of Mainz, where already in the 10th century, we hear about a great rabbi named Rabbeinu Gershon, the light of the diaspora, he is called, and his establishment of an academy of Jewish learning where the Talmud is studied and where Jews are writing commentaries on the Talmud. I will devote an entire lecture to that rabbinic activity and its significance for Jewish cultural life.